Hey guys, and welcome to episode 38 of the OCDstories.com podcast. Now in this episode, I interviewed Morgan. Morgan is an OCD advocate. She's very active in the mental health space and helping others. So it was great to get her on and chat about her OCD story and also kind of delve into some of the tips and tricks she's done to recover. We touched on things like the 24-hour don't avoid challenge, how she uses the coping box and what a coping box is, for those of you who aren't aware. I wasn't before. And we also talk about kind of her biggest learning in OCD, or OCD recovery, I should say. It's kind of action-packed with lots of tips and tricks to help you guys, which is kind of why I had to get her on. She's very recovery-focused also, and she has a great attitude. So this podcast is sponsored by the guys at No OCD. Now this is a free app. It's currently on Apple, iOS, but if you're listening after the end of September 2016, it is also on Android. And I wanted to give you a feature today from it. So when you go in the app, there's a on-the-go help button. If you click that, you can click, I'm having an obsession, I'm not quite sure, and I'm having a compulsion. If you click, I'm having an obsession, it asks you what the obsession is. So if you already pre-entered it before, you can just tap that one. Or if it's a new obsession, you write it in. Then it will say, what has triggered this? So you write the trigger. So basically, this is measuring it. So it allows you to track it over time. And then once you've done that, it has a countdown for 5 minutes. And while that counter's going down, it has a little message for you to try and remember and try and think about, which is like, I know I'm having X obsession. I must accept that in this moment for what it is. And if it's too intense, you click that button, I need a distraction app. And basically you can put a distraction app within the app. So it could be Facebook, it could be a game. And basically if it's too intense for 5 minutes, it gets you to play that game. I love this kind of on the go feature because sometimes we do get caught out or blindsided by OCD, and this can really help. So as I've mentioned before, it's a free app to download. If you do it through the link in the show notes, on the website, on the podcast, on YouTube, they will donate 50 cents on your behalf to an OCD charity. So you win and the charity wins. And obviously the podcast wins. So thank you so much for doing that, for supporting those guys. I really love and respect what they do. So, you know, I wouldn't be pushing if I didn't think it could help you greatly. So yeah, back to Morgan. Morgan's a great girl. So much advice in this one. It was a pleasure to talk with her. I know a lot of you guys know her and love her, so I think you're going to enjoy this one, and I'll speak to you soon.
On the podcast today, I have Morgan Rondinelli. Morgan is studying ecology and evolutionary biology. She is an OCD advocate, a mental health blogger. She's on the executive board of the Healthy Minds Coalition as the Mental Health Monologues Director, and is also involved in the Active Minds and Peer-to-Peer Depression Awareness Campaign. Welcome to the podcast, Morgan.
Hi.
So, you know, I've been seeing your stuff for quite some time now. You're very active, and that's really good to see, especially while being at university, which is time-consuming in itself. But yeah. It'd be good to, I mean, you shared your story. I actually published it sort of 2 hours ago on the website. So this will be sort of a week ago when this airs. So people can go read that, but it'd also be good for people who don't like reading or don't want to read if you could share your OCD story with them.
Sure. I have memories from really young, like kindergarten even, of just wanting to do things perfectly and caring about grades more than a kindergartner should, and just doing things over and over until they were perfect. And then I started getting really weird thoughts about, like, if I thought about my family dying, then unless I, like, knocked on wood, then they would die, and it had to be certain numbers. And then it switched to, like, fires. And all the while, it was, like, I call it annoying at the time, but it wasn't, I wouldn't call it debilitating yet, because I was able to hide it. It was maybe an hour a day, so I don't even know if it would have almost qualified as a diagnosis. But then in high school, it just started to grow. Grades started to matter more. I wanted to get into a good college. But even then, I don't think it grew that much. Like, I mean, I was mostly just perfectionism with school at that point and some occasional rituals and obsessions. But then college was when it really, really exploded. Yeah. That's when it turned into fearing causing fires, fearing that if I didn't set my alarm clock and check 20 times that I set it, missing class would be disaster. I could not wear the color blue. If I forgot a water bottle, I would just immediately have a panic attack that I was going to die for whatever reason, even though I know that's not how it works. Reading became a really big problem. I would reread to the point that it just got to the point that I couldn't read. It was taking so long. So yeah, at that point I couldn't really hide it. I knew something was up. And I remembered from my psychology class in high school that this sounded like it matched. Like, you're not supposed to self-diagnose, but it was pretty obvious that this was it. So I like told my mom, I was like, I think I have OCD. Can I please like go get a diagnosis and figure this out? So I did that and I started ERP, which I feel really fortunate anytime I talk about it that I started ERP first. So many people, they like their first person they talk to doesn't know about ERP and they go years, like even after they've reached out and figured it out themselves before they find someone who does ERP. So that was really helpful. I could tell right away that exposures were working. I think the problem was it was just there wasn't enough time in the day, because if I could have used all my time I was doing on rituals for exposures, sure, but I still had all these hours of rituals, so there just wasn't time for exposures and school and clubs and all that. So eventually I took a semester off from school, which was a really hard decision to make as someone who cares so much about school. School is such a huge part of my identity. But I'm glad I did, because it just gave me time to do exposures every day, like for hours. And so for the most part now, I'd say my OCD is pretty in check. I'm ashamed I was doing rituals before this. I was a little nervous, but I stopped myself, which is key. I mean, you can't just say I'm never going to do a ritual again, or you're setting yourself up for failure. Yeah. But I made the effort to stop myself. So yeah, school is still not where I want it to be. I'm still very anxious about grades, and I probably send more time studying or doing one activity than I should. But that's my main focus now. Because my focus when I took a semester off was like work on all the other junk and then work on school when I got back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I am now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, good work on the progress you've made. Yeah, sounds like you've come a long way, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And inspiring for people to hear, because sometimes people believe that it's not possible, and it's good for you to share your testimony. Okay, cool. So you said you did ERP, which was obviously awesome and has really helped you. Is there anything alongside that you've done in terms of, I don't know, maybe meditation, or remember I read on your blog about getting regular sleep?
Yes.
Yeah. Are there any kind of little things like that?
Yeah, sleep is something I have to be super strict about. Before I would always just say, like, no, I function on no sleep, but going to the program where they sort of like, okay, you have to be in your room this time, you have to have this time, I got to experience what a normal sleep schedule is, and it's amazing. I feel so much better. So I'm really strict that, like, once it's 1 a.m., I have to stop homework. Like, I don't care if it's done, like, I have to stop. And so then I can actually function the next day.
Yeah, sleep's really important, but it's a lesson I still haven't learned.
And try it. It feels great.
Yeah, no, that's true. Okay, cool. So you said in the story you wrote for the website, you said, so I'm reading it here, it says, and most importantly, I am no longer silent about what is going on in my head. So it'd be good to share with the audience kind of how is opening up helped you in your recovery?
I think it's just the power of getting to express yourself. It takes the power away from the thoughts and feeling like you're the only one going through this. This is so bad. But if you can express it, like, it doesn't fix it, but it certainly helps you process it and hear others say, oh, me too.
Yeah.
So, and also, like, I hope that it helps others. I was a TA over the summer, and I even told a few students who were really anxious. I was, like, trying to explain ERP to them, and I'm like, I'm not making this up. I have OCD. Like, this can help lessen your anxiety. And so I'm hoping that by saying that, maybe someone else will benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's really good. Did the kids you were teaching, did they think you were crazy when you were telling them to
Yeah, I don't face think the they fears? Believed me. No, I sent them a few articles.
Okay, good. Okay, awesome. Well, hopefully, you know, you help them, and it's a life skill they can take on with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I guess, you know, you said about connection there and not feeling alone. Mm-hmm. Is that why you do a lot of kind of the advocacy type stuff?
Yeah. I mean, originally it was just I had spent 10 years not talking about it, and it was all built up. I wanted to get it out. But now it's evolved into wanting others, when they Google search their specific symptom and they're like, what on earth is going on? Why am I having this thought 10 times a day that I can't wear the color blue? And then if they, by any chance, you know, come to my blog, someone else's blog, one of these interviews, and if that's what helps them figure out what's going on and that they should get ERP, then that's why I do it.
That's awesome. Cool, yeah, nice. Great motivation. Mm-hmm. And your turning point, kind of where you said to your mum, you know, I want to see a psychologist about this. Was that an easy topic to bring up, or was that really nervous at the time to kind of to tell your mum you were struggling?
It wasn't nerve-wracking in the sense that I had seen a psychologist in high school.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, didn't mention any of this. They never figured it out either. I don't know how that happened. So it wasn't I wasn't nervous about, like, you know, saying, oh, I want to have mental health services. It was more just like, I guess I wasn't 100% sure that it was OCD, as we never are. I'm still not 100% sure. But yeah, I guess just hoping that maybe it was, because then it had a name and agreement.
Okay, awesome. Well, it sounds like, you know, your mom was supportive through it. And,
yeah, she was very supportive.
That's awesome. Okay, cool. So you originally, in your about page of your website, mm-hmm. My OCD Voice, if anyone listening, you said you originally went under the pseudonym of Miranda. Was that just to kind of not, you didn't want to fully show your identity to start with? Or?
Yeah, at first it was just I needed somewhere to talk. And I didn't leave it as anonymous for long. I guess I wanted to claim ownership of my story. And once I started talking about it more with my friends and my family, then you pretty quickly start to not care about telling people. Like, the fact that I'm including my last name was something, you know, I would have never done at the beginning. But now, I don't care if people judge me for it, you know. If they do, I don't, you know, they're not the type of people I'd want to be friends with. Say, when I'm applying to grad school, someone sees this and they're like, oh, we don't want her, she's crazy. Well, you know, I wouldn't want to go to a school that doesn't support mental health. I'd want to go to a school that says, wow, she's a scientist and she takes her mental health seriously. I'd want a school like that anyway. So at this point, I don't mind.
Yeah, no, that's really refreshing to hear. And I can also, you know, when I started, I pretty much blogged with my name to start with. And at first it's really nerve-wracking because, you know, you're putting yourself out there. People who don't know you've struggled, they might think suddenly you're weird or even you're lying and all that.
Yeah.
And but after a while, like you said, you don't care because, you know, as Dr. Seuss says, those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind. And there's something very liberating about it. Okay, cool. So in one of your tips you said about with ERP homework, you said kind of be diligent in it. Now, for me, I've never liked homework. Actually, that's a lie. Until I got to university, I didn't like homework. So for people like me, what kind of tips do you have to to make sure you do your ERP homework, to see it through? Is there any kind of strategies you implemented to get yourself to do it?
Yeah, I probably like homework too much. Yeah. So don't do it if you're doing the exposure just to feel productive. But if you don't like homework, I always like reward systems. I mean, that's like a psychology concept they always cover. Like, it can be like anything as simple as eating ice cream, or, you know, if you do your exposure early on in the day, then maybe you can go for a bike ride later, or you can play video games for an hour if that's what you like, or, you know, just saying, well, if I do this, then I get to do this thing I really enjoy.
Yeah.
I always like the ice cream option, yeah, too.
I gathered that was your first one. Okay, cool. Now, that's good advice. And in your blog, you wrote the kind of 24-hour challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it would be good if you could share that with everyone and how it helps you.
So I guess, like, I sort of used it with writing the post for your website where, for whatever reason, my OC decided that that was stressful and I was going to avoid writing it. So what I do is I have a task I've been avoiding. I look at the clock. So, like, right now it's 5:30 to me. And I'd say, like, all right, by 5:30 tomorrow, this has to be done. No questions asked. I can do it now and get it over with. Feel uncomfortable now, but the rest of the 24 hours will be fun. Or I can wait till there's 20 minutes left and be uncomfortable for 24 hours. So it's sort of like, I always use the phrase short-term suffering versus long-term suffering too, because, you know, if I do the exposure now, that's short-term suffering. It's going to be uncomfortable, but in the long term, my stress will be decreased. I will have done what I needed to do. But if I wait and I keep doing rituals and avoiding, it's long-term suffering. You're just dragging it out. So it's better to just do the exposure and the suffering will go away sooner.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice. I really like simple kind of tools like that, and mm-hmm. I think that's a really good one. And you're also, I guess, by delaying it to the end of the 24 hours, you're extending your pain, but you're almost showing your brain, I don't need to fight back OCD for, say, like an hour. Whereas if you do it straight away, you're showing OCD, no, that's not okay. This is how we're meant to act. And you're kind of creating those more beneficial pathways as soon enough. Okay, cool. I see you've used a coping box.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be good to explain what coping box is, if you still use it, and how it helps you.
Yeah, I have it on my bookshelf. It's just like a box filled with, I think I have crayons in there, a coloring page. I have mints. So you try and get things for different senses. What else do I have in there? I have Play-Doh to, like, for tactile. So you just pick a bunch of sort of coping strategies. I also have a list of activities I can do, like go for a walk, read a book, watch a funny video. And so it's the idea is when you're in that moment where you're freaking out or you're really upset, you are not going to think of something easily when you're already there. So the idea is that you have this box ready, you just open it, and you don't have to do the brainstorming. You just already have it all there in a nice little box.
Yeah, that's really good. And do you find that helps you in those moments when you do open the box?
I think so. It's just nice to have everything that I... Because sometimes my problem is I know all these skills, but then in the moment I forget to use them. So it's nice to have it as a reminder. Like, these are the things you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. I never had a coping box. I never even knew it existed until I read it on your blog. So, But I used to keep like a journal on my phone, and I'd write down kind of the steps of what I need to do to get out of, say, an OCD cycle, because in the moment, as you said, you know, you're so overwhelmed, you can't think, you can't remember. So kind of having something there to jog your memory, whether it's the coping box or a list, I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So in your recovery, what do you think's been your biggest realization around OCD?
Hmm. think just how diverse it is. Because even when I was in middle school and had OCD, just didn't know it. I almost think even if someone had figured it out, I wouldn't have believed them, because I would have been thinking, well, no, I don't wash my hands. Like, you're lying. That can't be what it is. But once you start to hear people's stories and hear just how many different ways it can manifest itself, it can attack anything you care about, really. It's just, it's nice when you hear people have similar obsessions and you can relate, but there's also times where you've never met a single person with the one you've got. It's so diverse.
That's a good realization. And I agree. I think everyone has one type of obsession that no one else has, or at least they're not talking about it. And then your brain would go, or OCD would say, well, is it even OCD? Or is the, you know, and it's, it gets worse. Okay, cool. So you went to the ICDF conference this year.
Yeah.
How was it? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, the best weekend of the year.
Was it?
That was my second time going to the conference. It's really hard to describe. It's just kind of unfathomable when you're in a building and there's just a couple hundred other people with OCD or their family members or their professionals, and they all just get it. And it's hard to, you just have to go and feel it. And it's also super educational to go to all the sessions, to meet new people. But I think it's just being part of that crowd. It's just so powerful and so motivating, especially when you see someone else do an exposure that you're like, yeah, I'm going to do an exposure too.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's good to hear you enjoyed it. What was your favorite presentation of the event?
It's not a presentation, but my favorite activity is virtual camping. So what that is Dr. Grayson, who's like an OCD celebrity. He leads basically a group of a couple hundred people, whoever wants to go, around the city, and you do exposures together. So you shout at cars to crash and burn. people who fear hurting others, they get knives, and then everyone else, they form two really narrow lines and they have to walk down us. And we like scream like, you stabbed me. Which, like, it's not funny because it's so stressful for them, but also hilarious because the people who aren't part of it are just like, what is going on? He tries to hit everything. He has people, like, throw out papers, eat a Tic Tac off a toilet. It's awful, like, for people who have those fears, but when you're doing it with, several hundred other people, it's so easy to be willing to do it. When by yourself, it would be much harder.
Yeah.
Really powerful.
No, yeah, that does sound really, really fun and really powerful. Yeah, I agree.
Fun in a weird exposure way.
Yeah. And for anyone watching who doesn't have OCD, that must look so strange. That's really cool. Okay, cool. And you actually did one of your monologues at the conference, right? Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
How did that go?
This year's conference, I spoke with my friend. She originally started the show at my campus. It's called the Mental Health Monologues. And then I performed the first year. This past year, we co-directed it together. So we were talking about what the show is, how you can start it at your community. And basically what it is we take 10 students. We've been trying to get grad students or faculty too, they're welcome to, from the school, and we put them through workshops and they write their own story, or they can write about a family member's story if that's the perspective they want to take. And it can be a monologue, a rant. We had a song, which was amazing. Any sort of performance art that they want, and then they perform them in a show. So then I performed mine again at the conference just to, I guess, show people what it's like to see one of the performances.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And when's the next one?
It's around April every year.
Cool.
So pretty soon we'll be starting to plan our next show.
Yeah, can I, is that a lot of planning and
I mean, it's not overwhelming. It's doable, but it definitely takes a lot of hours just to, you know, organize all the logistics and do all the workshops with the performers, but it's definitely worth it.
No, that's awesome. I'll put the video of yourself at the OCD conference doing it, or the monologue. I'll put that on the website so people can go check that out. It's really good. You're a good performer.
Thanks.
No, pleasure. Okay, so what's the one piece of advice you have for someone with OCD that they should start doing?
Beyond exposures. I think it's good to find like things you enjoy doing and to schedule them into your week. So for me, that's dance classes. I schedule them in, so I have to go. I have to stop studying, and I have to go do this thing that I enjoy. It's another one of my values. You know, setting yourself up and forcing yourself to get away from the anxiety and rituals in advance.
Okay, no, that's great. And you talked about values there. Do you often kind of consciously think about your values and try and live according to them?
I try to, especially if I'm really stuck.
Yeah.
I try and think like, okay, do I want to be late for class and finish this ritual? Or is, you know, school more important to me? And hopefully, usually school wins out that, you know, I don't need to finish that because going to class is more important.
Yeah.
Unless going to class is a ritual, and then it just gets complicated.
Yeah, that's really good to hear that you use values as an exercise. And what's a similar question? So what's the one piece of advice you have for people with OCD that they should stop doing? Other than compulsions.
I think beating yourself up for when you ritualize.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy if you know you're having a really stressful day or you didn't get enough sleep and you ritualize, because it's going to happen. It just will. To then be like, gosh, I haven't made any progress, and you know, I'm always gonna have this as such a big part of my life. But you know, all you have to do to undo that is an exposure, and you can quickly, you know, be the winner again, I guess, if you're viewing it like a fight where it happens, and forgiving yourself and then just moving forward and keep trying to not ritualize.
Yeah, that's great advice. Really good advice. Okay, so similar again to those two questions. You're in an elevator, you're going up, you've got 30 seconds as this person, you know they have OCD. What would you say to them?
I give them the link to the IOCDF website, and I'd say find someone who knows ERP.
Awesome. Simple but effective. Okay, great. So so for the people listening, what advice do you have for them to live an amazing life?
Oh gosh,
kind of beyond
OCD. I'm still working on that. I think just keep on keeping on. I don't know, because you know, I'm in a place where I'm still trying to adjust back to school, and school is still such a problem, but like, I even compared to last week, I feel better. Like, last week it felt like I'd feel stressed forever and it would never get better, but it always does. You know, those feelings do not ever last forever, even though at the time it seems like they will. Just know that they won't.
That is always, good advice.
It always gets better.
Yeah, I think that's just great life advice, because even beyond OCD, we all have feelings we don't particularly like, and they also feel real, and waiting it out is that's good.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So you've got a billboard wherever you are in the States. What do you want that billboard to say?
I knew this question was coming from
listening to the other one. It's the hardest question.
I think just embrace uncertainty. My biggest one that I try. I have a poster above my desk that is just like a giant question mark. I sort of have done that to my room.
Yeah.
Made that the billboard.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's good that you have kind of reminders around you of mm-hmm. your kind of core philosophy you need to recover.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And I guess what's kind of in store for you now from an advocacy point of view for OCD? Is there any kind of plans over the next year? Keep doing what you're doing?
Well, next semester we'll have to plan the next monologues show, which will be my big one then. Just continuing to write, I guess. I want to go to the conference again. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have any big plans that I'm working on right now. Not yet.
Well, that's really, well, you're doing really good work. And yeah, just keep at it. It does make a difference.
Yeah.
So this
podcast does too.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. How can people find out more about you?
My blog is probably the best place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where like all my writing is, my email, my Twitter.
Okay, cool. I'll put the link in the show notes for anyone listening, but it's myocdvoice.wordpress.com.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, brilliant. Yeah, thank you so much for your time. This has been packed with information.
Good.
I think people have got a lot out of this and a lot of things they can implement today, including the 24-hour challenge.
It forced me to not study for an hour.
Well, I'm glad I could be of service.
Yes, thank you.
All right, brilliant. No, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Hey guys, so that concludes episode 38 of the OCDstories.com podcast. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Morgan. I hope you learned a lot from it, which I'm sure you did. If you want to find out more about Morgan, you can go to our website. And also, if you want to download the No OCD app for free and give a 50-cent donation to the charity without you having to spend a penny, do it through the link on the YouTube video, on iTunes, or on the website. So yeah, don't forget, recovery is possible, and I'll see you next time.